It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where we are trying not to kick the corner flag out of its sensible post. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
And this week, Vishal, we have a very niche area of the Premier League table that we want to focus on, because we have spent a lot of airtime talking about the title race. Not much happened in the state of the title race this week. We usually do a traditional bottom of the table pod somewhere around this time of the year, but maybe that will have to hold on for a bit. But like you mentioned yesterday, Vishal, just a while ago we were talking about that we will not make any extrapolations for this season until, let's say, the Christmas break is over or the Christmas rush is over. And suddenly, boom, we are 30 games down and we are in the middle of March.
Yep. Crazy, crazy season.
And in between that, a lot has happened, because that's what we are going to focus our attention to now. The big game of the weekend was not just a big game because it was a traditional rivalry, not just a big game because these are two teams who needed an important result. We are talking, of course, about the Arsenal versus Manchester United game. Important win for Arsenal, 2-0, and we'll of course break it down right now. But Vishal, in the larger context of the table, ends Manchester United's winning run. It suddenly gives Arsenal 3 huge points, and of course, knowing what Tottenham have done, as a friend of mine put on Twitter at Abstract Opinion, he said that Saint Tottenham might have a say in all this, and as usual, Tottenham have invited him. So Vishal, your take firstly on the result, and then we kind of focus on this top four situation.
Absolutely. To start off with, I think it was a great game of football, right? Because if you look at the starting 11 put out by both clubs, it is possibly the best starting 11 they both could put out. And the really positive thing that I liked about what Arsenal did and what Emery did was they did not set up to match United. They set up to put up their best 11 and say, let's just play football and see what happens. And that's exactly what happened. And if you look at it, it was a very well-balanced game. It was a very good game. It was not a cagey affair. It was not a defensive affair. Both the teams went at each other. And it was actually a game where the team that took its chances won the game. And it could have gone either way if you really look at it. But Arsenal were the team that were clinical enough to score the two goals. And deserved winners of the and massive 3 points, like you said, in the top four race, where United had overtaken them over the last weekend, and now Arsenal have not only beaten them and overtaken them, but now get a comfortable 2-point lead, which is massive at this point of the season.
And they're just 1 point behind Tottenham Hotspur, who of course lost on the weekend, which makes it even more interesting, because now in the top four, I think there was somebody with a headline saying, we examine what Arsenal's win does to the top four race, and I had corrected them saying that, look, it's the bottom two of the top four race now. Because surely it's not really conceivable that Liverpool or Manchester City would have much of a difficulty in terms of finishing within the top four. However, the permutations and combinations are very interesting, because they're really, realistically speaking, four clubs in this two-spot race.
Yes.
Three from London and one caught in between is from Manchester. United, honestly, by the time Jose Mourinho had left, really had no business to be in this race.
Absolutely.
But thanks to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's stunning turnaround, they are now actually quite a bit in control. The biggest losers, of course, have been Chelsea, who were probably the least favorite to nab one of those two spots. But let's talk about the two teams everybody is focusing on, which is Arsenal and Tottenham Hotspur, because it's an interesting flipping of the narratives. So is the hype around Arsenal real? Is there something happening? Because a lot of their games has been contributions from people like Aaron Ramsey, who would not be with the club after this season ends.
Which, let me state up front, is the most ridiculous thing that Unai Emery could have done. If because a player like Ramsey should be given the amount of money he's asked for at this point in time, because the difference he makes is not just at an offensive level, at a defensive level. Just his presence on the field makes opponents uncomfortable. He is a great, great midfielder, and the fact that Juventus are willing to pay this much money as salary to him to bring him all the way to Juventus and play with the squad itself is testament to how good the player is, and I think that's a mistake which Arsenal have made. But anyway, going down to Arsenal and Spurs, I think like you said, the hype around Arsenal, what I like about Arsenal this season is that they, what we've not seen in the past few years is the fact that they're grinding out results, right? Like, even if there are these odd defeats in between, for example, the UEFA Cup loss in between, an Arsenal team in the last 2 years would have come back and lost this game and would have gone on a series of bad results. But Unai Emery came out here and put a serious statement of intent in terms of not backing out in terms of the top four race or in terms of the attitude that the team has shown, and they responded very well. So in the current scheme of things, Arsenal are showing a far better form, and Spurs in the last few weeks, I think they've lost 3 out of the last 4, and if you really look at it, I think they're trying really hard to lose this position.
And the other one they actually drew, so that's 1 point out of 12.
Yep. Absolutely, which is appalling form for their team. Because let's be clear, to give you perspective, when Solskjaer took over, United were 17 points behind Spurs. That's in no sense of the way a small number, and we all know that. And to be so close to Spurs and to let Arsenal back into the race, to let United or Chelsea back into the race is sheer sin from Spurs. We've mentioned this before. We've mentioned multiple times. This Spurs team lacks experience at the highest order, and when it comes to these pressure moments, they do not have a player who stands up and makes themselves counted over and over again. So, and this has happened every year. Like, if you really look at Spurs over the last 4 years, this is the exact point of the season where they tend to fade away, and it's happening again because they more likely depend on the same pool of 15 players to deliver throughout the season, which is a very, very tough thing to do considering they're going deep into Europe as well. So Spurs seem like in a lot of trouble. They need to really put in a string of results and get good results to finish this. But they also have some tough games coming up. So let's see how this pans out for Spurs.
Yes, and one of those games is against Liverpool. So that could be a crucial bit as well. Arsenal, meanwhile, have these middling teams to play, so they don't have a lot of top-of-the-table clashes. In fact, United was the last top six that they have in the remaining eight games.
They have the easiest run of fixtures to the end of the season now.
And we'll see if they can hold this up and...
Yep.
And seal fourth spot, as seems to be their destiny, typically for the last few years.
Yep.
But then it'll also be interesting to see what kind of say both Chelsea and United have there, because surely United have not had the last word of it.
Not yet. Yeah.
And given how this team has been playing, and given how the narrative is unfolding in the Champions League. Things could be very different. We haven't discussed United a lot in the Champions League, but I would probably say that United have now become the number one team nobody wants to draw in the quarterfinals.
The vibe around the club is just a great vibe, right? Like, everybody's happy, everybody's smiling, even after the defeat to Arsenal, everybody's saying the right things, that it's all right, we lost the game, but it's about the reaction, it's about coming back the next game and making sure we deliver it again, and that's what you want to hear, right? There is no more finger pointing, there is no more name calling and looking to pass the buck anymore. Everybody is collectively seeking responsibility of winning and losing, and United are rightfully grinding out results. There's a long way to go. There's a lot of gaps to fill. That's definitely there. But with the current mindset and the happiness surrounding the club, it becomes a good destination for talent. It becomes a good destination for the young players, for the existing players. Because not too far back, half of these players wanted to leave the club. So we're in a great place. Honestly, this position that we are in is pure bonus, because everybody expected us to be in the sixth or seventh spot. So the fact that we are competing for the top four spot itself is bonus for us at this point in time, and we are in the quarterfinals of the Champions League as well, and the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. So we're still competing, we're still going out there and trying to win as many games as possible, and that's what United need to be doing. So it's a great time to be United again.
And astonishingly, United are actually worse off in terms of number of points than last season, and
absolutely,
yet into this battle. Which could only bode well. So we'll be keeping a track of all these complex narratives, because this season the top two race, as a friend of the pod, Apoor, pointed out, that it's been a great title race between two great teams. And honestly, at the beginning of the season, if somebody had said 30 games down, we would have a 1 point difference between Liverpool and Manchester City, and it would be City who would have that 1 point lead. Nobody would have questioned that narrative at all. Everybody would have just taken it at face value that this sounds about right. Which sets us up for a fantastic 8-game finale at the end of the season. But that's what we said in 2013-14 also. so we shall see how things go there. We'll of course be keeping you informed here on Soccer Sense. Meanwhile, you can follow us on Twitter at Sense Soccer. We are on Spotify, so you can find our podcast there and subscribe to us. Search for Soccer Sense or any of your other favorite podcatching platforms, whether it is Pocket Casts or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. That's all the time we have for this week. But Vishal, we are looking forward to an exciting round of fixtures, and I think the podcasts are going to get more frequent because in 2 days we have a humongous European one coming up, and we have not even talked about things that went down in a tiny French city called Paris last week.
You'll hear from me about that, right?
So those we'll save for the special Champions League episode. And in the meantime, this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
See you guys.
See you guys next time.